So Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is God's holy word to us this morning. And we'll be taking a look in specifics here at verse 17. But let's just pray to our God one more time before we look to his word. Father, we're in need of hearing from you this morning. We're always in need of hearing from you as we gather together. And we thank you that we can hear from you as we open your word, for these are your words. These are your words for us this morning. And as we take a look at this text, Father, we ever so need to hear from you, to be instructed by you. Father, we struggle as believers. We struggle to live our lives wholly for Jesus Christ. And here in this text this morning, we're being told, whatever we do, to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. How are we to do so? Father, instruct us by your word this morning, we pray. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Everybody knows, and certainly everyone here gathered here this morning, I'm sure knows, that pastors work only one day a week. Thank you. Thank you for chuckling. As I prepared that this morning, and as I planned to say that this morning, I was somewhat nervous because I had no plan B if you didn't chuckle at that. So thank you for chuckling. But I say that not to make some sort of weak attempt at humor this morning. That is not at all the reason why I say that. I say that to introduce the thought that for some people, as they think about not only pastors but the church, they think of the church worshiping solely on Sunday morning. And it's understandable for some that they would think that way. For an unbeliever, for they only see us gathered together, and they see us singing songs and things like that on Sunday morning, perhaps, and are reminded of that. And it's understandable that they might think that way. However, for believers to think that way, that is more concerning. That is more concerning. For believers to compartmentalize their lives and to compartmentalize their worship and to think of worship as something that is done on Sunday mornings, that is more difficult. And even further, perhaps, to think of worship being done on Sunday mornings from about 10:35 to 10:50 or so as we sang three songs. That is the extent of our worship. No, not at all. And that's what we're going to be considering this morning as we take a look at Colossians 3:17. We're going to be considering the fact that worship is oh so much more than that. Oh so much more than that. Last week, we, of course, as we've been going bit by bit, sometimes verse by verse, especially lately, through the book of Colossians, last week we took a look at Colossians 3, verse 16, the preceding verse, where Paul gives instruction regarding singing, and singing specifically as the church is gathered together. And this is one of the few times, actually, in the New Testament where we receive instruction about what it means and how we should be doing that, how we should be singing as we gather together. So it was a most important passage for us to consider. And we saw, as we took a look at Colossians 3:16 last week, we saw that Paul talks about singing, and in the previous verse talks about teaching and admonishing one another. And we saw last week and the week before that the purpose of singing, along with the purpose of teaching, along with the purpose of admonishing one another, is so that the word of Christ would dwell in us, gathered here together richly. And that's what Paul says in Colossians 3:16. And that's what we saw last week as we took a look at that verse. But we also saw, or the latter part even of verse 16, but we also saw a second purpose for singing last week as we took a look at the latter part of verse 16. And that second purpose for singing was also so that we might offer up to God thanksgiving, praise, adoration to Him for all that He has done for us. And so that we might, as I said repeatedly last week, and I hope this sunk in, you'll be hearing it even more this week, so that we might through that delight in Christ. Delight together in Christ. Those were the twin purposes of singing. Indeed, those are the twin purposes of singing, teaching, and admonishing. Indeed, those are the purposes of all that we do when we gather together on Sunday morning. Singing is but a means by which we offer up praise and worship and adoration to God. It is not the means. It is a means by which we do that. That all that we do on Sunday mornings, and when I'm preaching to you, when we're praying, and when I'm preaching to you, it is my intent that together, as we hear the Word of God proclaimed, that we would be in our hearts offering up praise and worship and adoration to God. That we would be once again delighting in Christ as we hear the Word proclaimed. All that we do on Sunday mornings is about praise and worship and adoration. But now in verse 17 this morning, we see that, here we go folks, worship is even more expansive than that. It cannot even be defined as all that we do on Sunday morning. It is far more than even Sunday morning can contain. For we read in verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So let's take a look at this verse now, this morning. Let's take a look at this and see further what it means to worship God wholly and fully and beyond Sunday mornings in whatever we do. As Paul gives us this instruction in verse 17, and as we this morning attempt to unpack what this instruction means for us, it occurs to me, and I hope you'll see this, that there's really two essential questions in this brief verse. Two essential questions that we need to consider and answer if we are to understand what Paul means here. And that's all we're going to do this morning. We're going to answer two questions. Here's the first question. The first question is, what does Paul mean when he says, whatever? When he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. When he says that, what does he mean by whatever? And here's the answer to that. And if you're noticing in your outlines, in your bulletin, if you follow along there, you'll notice I've left a very little space there for the answer to this question. Because here we go, you need to listen very closely so that you catch this and understand this. When Paul says whatever, he means whatever. When Paul says whatever, he means whatever. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, whatever you think, whatever you say, whatever you are involved in, do it, he says, in the name of the Lord. What does he mean by whatever? He means absolutely everything. We are to do in the name of the Lord. Now, having said that, this will be interesting. You'll say, what are you talking about, Craig? Having said that, there is one exception. And this exception is actually an obvious thing. It's very obvious, and we could actually skip over it. But it's also very important because there's an important principle that we can bring forth from this one exception. The one exception to things that we are not to do, and not to try to do even, in the name of the Lord, is anything that is sin. Very obvious. But we need to make that point. For obviously you cannot do something that is sinful in the name of the Lord. That's not possible. And as I say, the only reason I mention that is there's a tremendously important principle then that comes out of that. And that is as such. If you cannot do something in the name of the Lord, you best not do it. You best not do it at all. If that TV program that you're watching cannot be watched in the name of the Lord, you best not watch it. If that movie cannot be watched in the name of the Lord, as a believer in Christ, that's telling you, you best not watch it. Dare I say it? If you can't watch the Super Bowl this afternoon in the name of the Lord, you best not watch it. Not me, the Apostle Paul. We'll be talking more of what it means, what it actually means to do that, to do something, and to do everything in the name of the Lord in a few minutes. But for now, if you can't do something in the name of the Lord, you best not do it. Everything else, we do in the name of the Lord. We do in His name. Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There, Paul is laying down some instructions about some very specific things, and we won't go into all the specifics of the situation in Corinth at that time. But in addressing that situation, Paul lays down for them this very principle in slightly different words, but he's giving them the same principle. For Paul there in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says the following, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink," and that has to do with the specifics of what he's talking about there. And his conclusion is, "Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Do all, in other words, as he says in Colossians, it's the same thing really, do all in the name of the Lord. When you are at work, do all in the name of the Lord. When you're at school, do all in the name of the Lord. When you're enjoying your retirement, do all in the name of the Lord. Whatever you are doing, whether you're doing homework or housework, do all in the name of the Lord. Whether you're ironing or hunting elk or shoveling snow or watching the Super Bowl or paying your taxes. Yes, paying your taxes. Do all in the name of the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Previously, many of you know that I was, before coming to Cranbrook, I was a professor for a number of years, many years. And as I would give a lecture commonly, what I often used to do using PowerPoint is often in the bottom right-hand corner of the first PowerPoint slide, I would include there three letters. I would include them very small in the corner of the slide. I would include them very small because they weren't for the students. I didn't care whether the students saw it or not. It was a reminder to me. And these three letters and this thing that I did was actually borrowed, stolen, from something that the great composer Johann Sebastian Bach used to do at the bottom of each one of his compositions. He would write those same three letters, and I would write them in the bottom right-hand corner as a reminder, bottom right-hand corner of my first slide. And the letters are S-D-G. Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. And it was a reminder to me, it was a reminder to Sebastian Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach. And it was a reminder to me that what I'm about to do, even giving a chemistry lecture, to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that glory would go to Christ and to God alone, even in that. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. You see, and if you're following along again in your outlines, you see that really what we're dealing with here is, despite what so often we think, there's only two columns, only two categories. There are not three. What do you mean by that, Craig? There's only two columns, not three. So many of us think that there are three columns. Let me elaborate. There's one column or category that are things, as we've just talked about, things that I can do in my life to the glory of God. We gather together, we sing, we read our Bibles through the week. Maybe we even interact with other people to the glory of God. We understand clearly that one column. We probably also understand another column, and that is what we've also talked about this morning. Those are things that are sin. And they cannot be done to the glory of God, and therefore we ought not to do them. Things that cannot be done in the name of the Lord. But for many of us, we can fall into, and maybe subconsciously and without realizing it, we can fall into a thinking that says there's a third column in between those. And that third column is filled with all sorts of activities that I've just listed already. Ironing, hunting, paying taxes. And these are neutral activities. They're not sin. We have to do them, or we may enjoy doing them, not paying taxes. But they're not things that I can do to the glory of God, surely. Yes, they are. There's not three columns. There's two columns, two categories. And if you can't do it to the glory of God, as we've been saying already, we ought not to be doing it at all. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever means whatever. Whatever means everything. But we must move on now to the second question. The second and final for us this morning, final essential question in this verse, in this passage, to help us understand what Paul is saying here. And this is really the critical one. How do I do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus? Especially in that neutral category in between that's not really neutral, as I just related. Those other things that I do during the week, how do I do those in the name of the Lord Jesus? Paul's telling me to do so, but how? I'm going to suggest four things for you this morning. Four ways by which we can do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's probably many more than four. If you can think of more, feel free to add them as we enjoy soup lunch later on this morning. But I'm going to talk about four of them this morning for the sake of time. Number one, the number one means by which we can do all things and do them in the name of the Lord is that we do these things recognizing, first of all, God's sovereignty. We do these things recognizing, that is, what I mean by that is, we do these things recognizing that it is God that has placed us into that situation. That things don't come upon us by happenstance. Whatever situation we find ourselves in tomorrow morning or Friday or any time, it is because God has directed you into that situation. Or at least allowed you to be in that situation. We first of all understand how we can do all in the name of the Lord as we recognize the fact that it is God that has placed us in that situation. Notice that the text speaks of not just doing everything in the name of Jesus. It speaks of doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, the one who is Lord of all, Lord over everything, Lord over the details of your life. That God is sovereign. We recognize, therefore, in all things, that Jesus is Lord, that God is sovereign, and that sovereignty includes every affair and every detail of my life. And Christ's lordship includes every detail and every affair of my life. That whatever situation, I am there by God's hands. And therefore, we live out that situation to His glory. On Wednesday nights at our kids' club, the last number of weeks, Bev, who usually leads us in the story time, Bev has been going through the book of Genesis, and of late, she's been telling the children and the adults there. It's been great to be there as an adult and hear these stories once again. She's been telling us of late the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph. Joseph is that one that we read in the latter chapters of the book of Genesis. Joseph is that one who was tossed into a pit by his brothers. He was then sold into slavery by his brothers. He was then a servant in the house of Potiphar, this high person in the land of Egypt. He was a servant in Potiphar's house in Egypt. And then it was that same Joseph who was eventually and unjustly cast into prison, sold by his brothers, thrown into a pit, goes to a foreign land, acts as a servant. Remember, his home was a very wealthy home, the home of Jacob. And now he's a servant, and now, even further than that, he's thrown into prison unjustly for something that he did not do. But that same Joseph is also the one who, at the end of all of these things, said the following to his brothers: "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Joseph understood, and we see clearly the lesson of the scriptures talking about Joseph is God's providential hand. That is the lesson of the story of Joseph that we've been learning at Kids Club. The providential hand of God, the sovereign hand of God. And Joseph recognized that. And Joseph understood that whatever situation he found himself in, he was there by God's sovereign, gracious, and good hand, and that he would do all there to glorify God. Joseph understood that. Now, does that mean that if God has placed me in whatever situation I have been placed, does that mean I ought never to pursue some sort of other situation if it's a difficult one? No, we're not saying that. But while you are in that situation, recognize that it is God has placed you there. And do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The second means by which we can do all in the name of the Lord Jesus is that we do all with excellence. We do all with excellence. Consider again. I can't do any better than this. Consider again Joseph. Wherever he landed, he did so well that he was raised to an upper position there. When he was a servant, when he'd been reduced to a servant in the house of Potiphar, he was entrusted because of the excellence by which he pursued that situation and that stewardship that he'd been given and that situation. He was raised to sort of the senior person in charge of things in the house of Potiphar. He was then unjustly thrown into prison, but he did so well there, even in prison, that the jailer there in the prison, the keeper of the prison, Genesis 39:22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the other prisoners because he did so well there. Whatever Joseph set his hand to, he didn't mope, he didn't stew, He set his hand to it, and he did it with excellence. He did it to the glory of God. He did it to the glory of God, and in the name of the Lord Jesus. The third means by which we do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus is right here in the text itself. But whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, comma, that is, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I cannot stress this enough, that to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus is to do all things with a thankful heart. With a thankful heart. If you've been noticing of late in Colossians 3, in the last few verses, thankfulness, thankfulness, thankfulness. It's thrown in there almost as an aside so that we can easily skip over it, but I haven't been letting you do that for the last 3 weeks. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians 3:16, the next verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace or thankfulness, as other versions have it, with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. That's how we sing. We talked about that last week. Verse 17 now, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are told in this passage that we are come to God the Father, giving thanks, coming to God the Father through the Lord Jesus. He is the mediator by which we come to the Father. This is a little bit of an aside, but it's right here in the text, so I'm going to take note of it. This is the general pattern of prayer in Scripture, that we pray to God the Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, because he is the mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We come in the name, therefore, of the Lord Jesus, and we pray in the Spirit. Our prayers are also always Trinitarian. They are to the Father, in the name of the Son, in the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul says to do here. Specifically, he says, to give thanks to God the Father through Christ. In all things, do it in the name of the Lord by giving thanks. By giving thanks. Whatever it is, give thanks. Whether it's thankfulness for the beauty of the Kootenays or the beauty of the mountains as Carmen is out picking huckleberries. He gives thanks. And you know what? I know Carmen does that. But beyond that, as Dolores takes huckleberries and makes a beautiful pie with it, I was concerned that this would become kind of a pie contest here, so I name only one person with a bit of fear and trepidation, but I know Dolores makes huckleberry pies. But all kidding aside, as Dolores makes that huckleberry pie and tastes that huckleberry pie, hopefully lets me taste that huckleberry pie, we together offer up thanks to God for that experience. In all things, with thankfulness, as you glide across the ice on a pair of skates. Isn't that a wonderful, maybe for some of us, we have to remember back a few years, but a wonderful feeling that is to glide across ice on a pair of skates. Do it in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God for all those things. Watching the sun rise this morning, watching the sun set in all these things. For James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down to us from the Father of lights. Everything that we receive, is a gift coming down to us from God. And we give thanks. We give thanks for each one of those gifts. The fourth and final means by which we do all that we do in the name of the Lord is we seek in this, and now we're circling back around to what we talked about last week, for it's really wrapped up here in verse 17 as well. To do all things in the name of the Lord means that we seek in all things to contemplate, to consider, and to delight in the glories of Christ and the excellencies of Christ. That in all things, we seek to do that. Let me remind you again that it is not in the name of Jesus that we do this, do all things. We do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus as we contemplate His Lordship, even as we've talked a little bit about already, recognizing that Lordship, but also contemplating His excellencies, His glories, and who He is. For we are to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And both of those bear significance. This is the one who took upon Himself my sin on the cross of Calvary, that I do all things in the name of. This is the one who rose triumphantly from the grave over sin, over death, over hell, in whose name I do all things. This is the one who is now ascended to the right hand of God, the Father, where He has been given the name which is above every name, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, the name that every knee shall bow before. But even now, we do all things bowing to that name. Do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Yahweh saves, is what that means. The name of the Lord Yahweh saves. Our God saves and provides salvation. Even now, we do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, considering and delighting in the excellencies of who He is. In conclusion, there are some believers I've heard talk this way, and it's great. They talk about having a life verse. Maybe there's some here. Doubtlessly, there are some here who have a life verse. That's great. That's great. I've never been one who's had a life verse. There are a number of verses in Scripture that particularly resonate with me, that particularly have deep, deep significance to me, and that I turn to again and again and again and consider again and again and again. But I've never had what I would call a life verse. But that's great, having a life verse. Alternately, this past week, once again, as I mentioned, we gathered together as a church to consider a mission statement, a purpose statement, a vision statement for us as a church. Let me just say now that in terms of a life verse or in terms of a mission statement, not for Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, but for each one of us, we could do no better than, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If Jesus is Lord, He is Lord of all. If Jesus is Lord, He is Lord of all. He is Lord of distant galaxies that we can't even see through the Hubble telescope. He is Lord over kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers and nations and governments and empires. He is Lord of all. He is Lord over Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. And, here we go, He's Lord over every detail of your life. And He's in every detail of your life, every moment of your life, every situation of your life. And so therefore, as we do, whatever we do, in word or deed, let us do so, declaring the Lordship of Christ, the excellencies of Christ, and delighting in Him. For there is no higher mission, no higher purpose, no higher calling than that. Let me pray.